As we continue on with Proverbs, we're now at chapter 2. In chapter 1, we basically learned that wisdom is available to us. He's almost forcing wisdom onto us. Wisdom is a person. It's Christ. And the scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord, the reverential fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. And that's what he says in chapter 1. And then he says, wisdom is available. She's standing on the street corners and she's crying out. And that word crying we saw was to accost. Hey, I'm wisdom. I want you to have me. That's what that word means in the Hebrew. So anybody that says, well, you know, I haven't got wisdom, they're just not getting it, man. Because wisdom is there. James tells us that if you ask for wisdom, what will he do? He will give it to you and he will not hold back. And we might even look at that scripture today. Now we're in chapter 2. And we'll see here that wisdom is definitely from God. We know that Christ has been made wisdom unto us. And so let's start then in verse 1. And I'm reading from the Amplified. If you don't have the Amplified, just try and follow in your Bible, but just listen. You will also see this chapter 2, there's a progression. One step leads to another one. If you do the one, you'll get to the next one. If you do that one, it'll get to the next one. So watch out for the progression. I will make comments as we go. And I guarantee you that you will be blessed. It says, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you. If. See, there's a condition. If you will do that. Many of us don't do that. You see, because that word, if you will receive, it means to take it within yourself, to graft it within yourself. To go to the trouble of taking the word of God and putting it in yourself, of renewing your mind. People tend to think, Christians tend to think, you know, God's got to do it all for me. No. If you want the deep things of God, if you want the treasures of God, you've got to dig into it. You've got to search it out. You've got to look for His face. You've got to seek Him out. It doesn't just come. We know that. But you know what? There's a time now where we need to walk in that. If you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you. That word treasure, I mean, what does it mean to treasure up something? To value extremely, yes. Just a quick squiz in the concordance means to hide it. Because that's what you would do with a treasure, right? But it's got a funny, another meaning to it. It means to hoard it up. And I don't think a lot of us do that. We don't hoard the word and say, Lord, I need this. I need to walk in your wisdom. I want to walk in the ways of Christ and want to make a difference out there. Verse 2, making your ear attentive to skillful and godly wisdom and inclining and directing your heart and mind to understanding. Now actually, verse 1 and 2, they are one sentence. So let's read it again. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to skillful and godly wisdom and inclining and directing your heart and mind to understanding. Okay. What do we normally say? Perk up your ears. You know, pay attention. Listen to what I'm saying. That's what he's saying. Be attentive. Inclining and directing your heart. Now, I was thinking about that. You know, why would it say that? Uncle Chris is quite a soft-spoken man. But when he speaks, he speaks wonderful things. He speaks wisdom. But he's a soft-spoken man. So what I do, I lean into him. I incline myself to him to hear what he has to say. That's what we're supposed to do. We need to incline ourselves towards the Lord and towards the Word of God. That's what we need to do. So it's a leaning in. A good example of that was the Apostle John, who we knew had his head on the breast of Jesus. because the way that they used to sit around a table, they didn't have chairs. Unlike what the Passion of the Christ shows us, where Jesus invented the chair. They didn't have chairs. They would lie on their left side, and they would fit into one another around the table. Why did they lie on the left side? Because it stretches the stomach so you can eat more. If you've ever tried to lie on your right side and eat, you can't eat a lot. So if you want to lose weight, then you would all lie the other way. So they would lie on their left-hand side, okay? And so John was close to him. So you can imagine the way he was leaning in. He was listening to what he was saying. So he was pretty close. He would just have to turn his head and he would look him straight in the face. He may have read the scripture, but his heart attitude was he just wanted to know. Okay? He says, inclining and directing your heart and your mind. Okay? Then the Amplified has an amplification there, and it says, applying all your powers to the quest for it. Applying all your powers to the quest for it. You know, the midnight hours, those are very precious times. And I know we're all very busy and we do things and work hard and run businesses and so on. But you know what? When you wake up in the middle of the night, you might as well read the Bible. You might as well talk to God. What I'm finding is when we get older, then we tend to be woken up in the middle of the night. You know, we don't need as much sleep. Even if I go to bed early and I'm finished, I might wake up at 2 o'clock. Then I lie in there and I'm staring at the ceiling till 5 o'clock. And then I fall asleep for half an hour and I've got to get up anyway. And then I feel like a train smash, you know. But you look at David and you look at the scripture. A lot of men of God, the people of God, the midnight hours is when they spent time with him. They also had problems. You know, they had people attacking their cities and they had droughts and all sorts of stuff. And they were concerned over these things. And so they would get woken up. And so what I try and cultivate in my family is, look, if you wake up and you're clear as a bell in the middle of the night, there's no point lying down. You know, get up. Just go sit with the Lord. Put a CD on or just sit in quiet before the Lord. Read the word, whatever. Pray in tongues. Do something. But apply all your power to the quest for it, for godly wisdom. Now that sentence, inclining and directing your heart and mind to understanding, also means to argue or reason within yourself. In other words, simple word that we can use, meditate. So it's not just a simple matter we read the word. It's not a simple matter that you hear what I'm saying here on a Wednesday. We normally, if you've been here today, next week you'll get this week's CD. So you can listen to it over and over and over. So that you can reason within yourself. So that you can think about it. You can argue within yourself. Yes, but it says this. But my thought about this is this. Yes, but the Word of God says this. And you renew yourself within the spirit of your mind. The way you think about wisdom. The way you manifest wisdom. We need to work. You know, you don't just walk in the revelation of God. God gives His secrets to those who apply all their powers to the quest for it. And again, if there's a time that this has ever been needed, it's now. Verse 3. Now please note, we're still busy with the progression. Yes, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Basically, he's saying the same thing. And it means to accost, to have a definite encounter and to call by name. It's the same as what I said just now. Wisdom is crying in the streets. But wisdom is actually accosting us. So he says here, yes, if we cry. Now remember, wisdom is crying. Jan, I'm here. And I say, wisdom, I want you. And so guess what? If you on the one side of this property and the other one's on the other side and we start shouting, we will find one another, won't we? Right. But that word, if you cry, it means a definite encounter. It means to call by name. So, wisdom, I want you. I need you. I want an encounter with you. I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to apply all my power to meet with you. Okay? And raise your voice for understanding. Verse 4, if you seek, see there's another if. See, it's a progression. If we seek, then this will happen. If you do this, that will happen. If you do so and so, this will happen. If you seek wisdom as for silver and search for skillful and godly wisdom as for hidden treasures, then, this is verse 5. If you seek, let's look at that word seek. It means to search out, to strive after, to procure. How many companies have a procurement department and the head of the procurement department is the procurement officer? What does he do? He gets given a budget and then he's supposed to procure stocks, products, whatever it is. He's the procurement person, but he pays something for it. So what that is saying, if I seek something, it's going to cost me something. And in our walk with the Lord, what's it going to cost us? Our lives. That's an easy way to die. Just start seeking wisdom and you will die. We're so busy trying to die to self. We're so busy trying to die. Oh Lord, I need to die to self. No man, it's not that difficult. Just die in your seeking of the Lord. As He increases. Remember what John the Baptist's prayer was. He said, I pray that you may increase so that what? That I may decrease. Some people quote it the wrong way around. It says, Lord, I pray that I may decrease so you may increase. No, man, then it means you're in the flesh because I'm trying to decrease myself. No. All we trust God for is that He will increase. The more that there is of Him, there's got to be less of us. Which means what? Self is dying. That's all. We become more and more alive unto Him. And more dead to our own agendas. If you seek, strive after, procure wisdom as for silver, and search for skillful and godly wisdom as for hidden treasures. That word hidden treasures is another word that you can put in there. Secret storehouses. Now remember, we started off in verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments, if you will treasure it, or you will hide it, or you will hoard it. Where? In a secret storehouse. But God has got secret storehouses. Where in a way He's hiding it. He's hiding it for those that are prepared to pay the price. That are prepared to procure those things at the price of their lives. From the secret storehouse. But where is the secret storehouse? It's in Christ. Where is Christ? In us. So what do we need to learn to hear? The voice of the Spirit within us. You see, we have this tendency, well, you know, God's out there, the wisdom is out there. No. You're a son of God. Whether you're male or female, you're a son of God. There's no gender in the Spirit. You're a son of God. You're not the son of God, but you have the Son of God living His life in you and through you. So where is the wisdom? Where's the hidden treasure? There you have it. We have this treasure in what vessels? Earthen vessels. You're the treasure. You're the container that has the treasure inside it. And you know what? When you dig that wisdom out from inside you and you start walking in it, other people will come and they will start drinking from that well. Rivers. Rivers, people, not river of life, rivers of living water will flow from your innermost being. Jesus said, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And we always tend to just channel it, you know, rivers of living water. Yes, kurabasanda, kirabasahana, you know, speaking in tongues. That's one of the rivers. The other river is when Rina has some situation in her life, the river of wisdom can come and speak, whether it's financial or in relationships or business or whatever it is. That's another river that can come. That she can drink of. The treasure house is within you and you need to seek it out. Verse 5. Again, this is one sentence from verse 4 to 5. If you seek, then you will understand. So verse 1, 2, 3, For if you do all of those things, then you will understand. Who wants to understand? We all want to understand, right? Anybody want to understand? Definitely, I want to understand. Then you will understand the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of our omniscient God. But what's he saying there? He's saying what Proverbs 1 verse 7 says. That says that the reverential fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what he's just basically quoting verse 7 from chapter 1. Then you will understand what wisdom is if you do all those things, if you walk in all those things, if you give your life for him. Verse 6, for the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. Straight after verse 5, which talks about wisdom, for the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. In fact, Christ has been made wisdom unto us. The Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So he gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. I was prompted to look up that phrase there, from his mouth. Because everything God does, he speaks it into existence. And we should do the same. From his mouth, if you go and look at the original language, it means to breathe a harmonious tone. Which means he's in harmony with himself. Father and Son and Holy Spirit, they're in harmony with themselves, with one another. He's in harmony with his word. So when God speaks, it brings harmony. A tone of harmony. So guess what? When you hear that tone of harmony, what's it going to do? God is not a God of confusion, the Bible says. Amen? That just confirms that he's not a God of confusion. When he opens his mouth and we hear what he's saying, confusion will leave. And guess what? Wisdom will manifest. So whenever he speaks, it's a harmonious tone. And when you receive that harmonious tone, harmony will be in your heart and your mind. And knowledge will come. Let's look at James chapter 1. We all know these, but it's good to go over them. In Afrikaans, it's Jacobus. James chapter 1 from verse 5. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly. There again, wisdom is just freely available to us if we will receive it. The thing that I think grieves Annika and myself the most, I mean, I've been in ministry almost 30 years, and I've counseled many people. I've counseled business people. I've counseled people in government, pastors, you name it. I've counseled them. Well, what actually gives us joy is when people do what we say. But then you get people, especially now, you see a lot of it now. 5 years ago, we said to people, get out of debt, do this with your business, start giving tithes and offerings, get your books sorted out, because there's a financial crunch coming. God's telling us it's coming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Guess what? People are losing their houses. People are losing their businesses. They are losing their cars because of simple wisdom. And I mean, this is not rocket scientist wisdom. We said to some people the middle of last year, I believe it is. We said to people, fix the interest on your houses. If you are paying off a bond, fix it. No, it's okay. One guy told me he doesn't know how to do that. I said, just go to the bank. They will tell you how. Ach, now it's too much trouble. Now he stands to lose everything he has because he's got more than one house. He's got something like 10 vehicles in his business and he never fixed any interest. So guess what? His payments and everything. I mean, his overhead must have doubled. Now it doesn't help to complain. But when the wisdom of God was there, and I mean, that's simple wisdom. It grieves me that people don't find these things out. Or just, nah, you know, it's too much trouble. I don't know how it works. I'm just not going to do it. But then when things go horribly wrong, then please, you must pray for me. You must, and I said, but, you know, don't you get it? If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given. It's available to us. God is looking for that people of wisdom to manifest themselves now. In business, in the education system, remember this, the seven spheres of influence? In government, in the financial realm, in the media, all of those realms. God's people have to give wisdom and input. Verse 6, only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers or hesitates or doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks from the Lord. For being as he is a man of two minds, or two hearts. Can you imagine? Having two sets of emotions right in here somewhere. And the one lot says, yes, I want that. And the other lot also says, yes, I want that. I mean, can you imagine what it must be like to live like that? It can't be nice. But he says that if we don't ask in faith, if our hearts are not established, when we ask these things, whether it's wisdom or anything else, I mean, why do you think a lot of us don't receive anything from God? Because we waver. Then we have two minds, we have two hearts. Let's look at Proverbs 28, verse 18. Just to illustrate the point even further. Proverbs 28, 18 says this: he who walks uprightly shall be safe, but he who willfully goes in double and wrong ways shall fall in one of them. Basically like falling in a hole, digging a hole for yourself and falling into it, setting a trap and falling into your own trap. Willfully. Think about it. The times that we walk in doubt and unbelief, think about it. We're actually rebellious and willful in our own lives. Yeah, but you know what? If God doesn't, you know, I'll have plan B. There's no complete abandon. Okay, Lord, if this doesn't work, well, then I am finished. We don't live like that. We have plan B. Because in this modern world and day and age, we can always make a plan. We can always go to FNB or Standard Bank or Ned Bank or Bank of Africa now, I believe, and a couple of other banks and make a plan. You're shooting yourself in the foot, but it's a plan. Okay. And please, if you've got debt or something, I'm not telling you that you're evil or anything. I'm just telling you, get out of it. Get out of debt. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Kronika. My Bible doesn't have it, no. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 33. In verse 23 it says, these are the numbers of the armed divisions who came to David at Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. And then they give all the different numbers and figures. Verse 33, of Zebulun, 50,000 experienced troops fitted out with all kinds of weapons and instruments of war that could order and set the battle in array, not of double purpose, but stable and trusty. Can you imagine having a bunch of double-minded soldiers? When the commanding officer says, okay, charge, take out the enemy over there on that hill. And then some of them said, no, we love it over there, the enemy there by the water that are fishing. I don't know how many of you are watching. There's a series on TV that's just started at on some of the paid channels. I think it's already been. It's called The Unit. It's based on the Delta Force, Special Forces of the American military. That's how the body of Christ should operate. Shows you the unity, the oneness of mind and heart, and how they stand up for one another. Just by the way, that's interesting. If you have a chance, take a look at that. Verse 7. He hides away, or treasures away. It's the same word as in verse 1. He hides away, or hoards, sound and godly wisdom, and stores it in secret storehouses, as you see in verse 4. Stores it for the righteous. You see, there's no doubt that some of these deeper things are hidden away for those that are prepared to press into God and find them. He's going to give his wisdom to people of responsibility. He's going to give his wisdom to people that have character. He's going to give wisdom to people of character. If you look at Daniel and look at Joseph, for instance, God gave them great wisdom. But there was a tough time that they went through before that. Their character was tested because neither one of them, neither Daniel or Joseph, could stand up there and, well, hey, you know, how's it, you guys? You know, I've arrived. I'm God's power for the hour. Here I am. You know, just ask me anything and I'll solve your problem for you. No, there was a humility there. They knew they had the wisdom. They could interpret dreams. They had insight into government affairs, into their lives, and the way that they had to conduct the government. I mean, Joseph, he had such a plan from God as to provide for the known world of the day. And God's looking for those Josephs and Daniels. And they're sitting in front of me. But you know what? In your quest, as you press into God, he deals with your heart. It's a two-way transaction. The people that don't want, believers, that don't want to pay that price to enter in, they don't have the wisdom. So they might stand up there and shout to odds and say, well, you know, I'm a Christian and I know a whole lot of stuff and, you know, God will bless you, you know, blah, blah, blah. They will quickly be exposed for what they really are, for the shallowness, the fact that their lives are not truly founded on the rock. He hides away sound and godly wisdoms and stores it for the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with him. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly and in integrity. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly and in integrity. Now that word integrity means an undivided or unbroken completeness or totality with nothing wanting. So our completeness is not within ourselves. Our completeness is within Christ. So when God starts blessing us with his wisdom, when we start walking in this wisdom, it is because we have found our nature, we found our rest, we found our completeness in Christ, and he is the one that lives his life through us. There is no way that we can manifest the wisdom that is needed in the world right now if we do not have our completeness in him. And that basically means perfection. Because we are moving on to perfection. The perfection of who? Christ's perfection. He's perfecting himself in us and through us. Notice, he is a shield to those who walk uprightly and in integrity. In other words, who are undivided or unbroken. And that connects up again to what we were saying just now about being double-minded. A double-minded person is broken within themselves. They divided within themselves. So if you are a person of integrity, then you're undivided. You're not broken. We talk in computer terms of a computer hard drive has lost its integrity. Now, if you don't know what that means, it simply means that the information on the hard drive is starting to get scattered and you're losing your information. And I think some of us had hard drive crashes on our computers. It's because the hard drive loses its integrity. Now, most of the time, 80 or 90% of the time, you can restore the integrity of the hard drive. You can do that. There are little programs, must come from God because it restores the completeness and integrity of the hard drive. And our hard drive, we need to be restored. Our integrity needs to be restored. Our brokenness, so that we are not divided within ourselves. But he says, he's a shield to us when we are like that. Verse 8, that he may guard the paths of justice. See, verse 7 and verse 8, still one sentence. So he hides away the wisdom for us so that he may guard the paths of justice. Paths of justice in our lives, paths of justice in the community, paths of justice in the nation. Justice. Do you think we need justice in this nation? Godly justice. Godly discernment. Yes, he preserves the way of his saints. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9. Says this: He will guard the feet of his godly ones, and the wicked shall be silenced and perish in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. You see, in the strength of the flesh, in the arm of the flesh, you can go your own way for a season, but you will not prevail. But he will guard the feet of his godly ones, which means they will walk in the light, and they will walk in the strength of the Lord. Because you see, in the second part of the wicked shall be silenced and perish in darkness, which means if we walk as his godly ones, he will guard our feet, and we can say there, and the holy ones will not be silenced. We will speak the word of God, and we will flourish and have a great life in God's light. And by the strength of the Lord, we will prevail. He preserves the way of his saints. Psalm 66, verse 8 and 9. Bless our God, O peoples. Give him grateful thanks and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who put and kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip. And we're going to touch on this way of the Lord. You know how many times we read that in the Bible? It talks about the way of the Lord or the paths of righteousness. It's very interesting. There's more than just a path. Those birds seem to agree with me there. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness. You see, there's the progression again. He will guard the paths of justice. He will preserve the ways of his saints. And then verse 9, then you will understand righteousness. There's a progression. Do yourself the favor and you know, when you get home and in your quiet time, read this again. Go over it. Listen to the CD next time when you get it. And look at the progression. It means there's a growth that has to take place. You will understand righteousness, justice, and fair dealing. And the Amplified says, in every area and relation. Yes, you will understand every good path. There's an evil path, and there's a good path. Now, the word path, when I looked it up, I thought, that's strange what it says there. It had the meaning of moving in a circle. I said, but Lord, you know, if I'm in your path, I don't want to be moving in a circle. And then I looked some more and I studied it out, and it said the word circle comes from wagon trail, the wheel that moves circular in the wagon trail and actually gouges it out in the soil. So, if you're in the good path of the Lord, basically you can't be led astray. And even if you walk in a circle, if God has you there, it means you're protected. A circle means eternity. A circle means covenant. So you're walking in his covenant ways. You're walking in the way that he had ordained for you. The way that was meant for you. That's what that means. The good path of the Lord. If you find the good path of the Lord for your life, it's just like everything just slots in. Because guess what? You put the whole thing on autopilot and there you go. Because like the wagon trail, your spiritual wheels just roll on this track that the Lord has set for you. You cannot depart from it. It's easy. Another word for it there is rut, I see that I've written down here. Every good path, wagon trail, the rut that the Lord puts you in, but it's a good rut, okay? Don't look at it as a negative one. When you're in that trail, that good path of the Lord, things are easy for you. That's when the presence of God comes. Things just come your way. Things just work out for you. Verse 10, for skillful and godly wisdom shall enter, besiege, and take over your heart. That's what it means. For skillful and godly wisdom shall enter. It's like when soldiers come and they take over a small town. They besiege the town. They take it over. They put all their men in all the vulnerable places. They put their guards out. They besiege the place. The progression is there from verse 1. If you do all of those things, the wisdom of God will come and besiege you. It'll take you over. Who wants to be taken over by the wisdom of God? I do. For skillful and godly wisdom shall enter or besiege or take over your heart and soul, and knowledge shall be pleasant to you. Now, I remember a time in my life when knowledge was not pleasant to me, especially at school. It was not pleasant to me. I can kick myself for some of the things I didn't study at the time because I need them now in my life, okay? So I've had to study again and do sorts of stuff. But at school, knowledge was not pleasant to me. The other knowledge that was not pleasant to me was when my father would sit me down and say, "Son, you are growing up now. Let me explain certain things about life to you." I couldn't get away from him quick enough because, you know what? I know. Because we all have friends, don't we? Die kring van die spotters. That's in Psalm 1, isn't it? Do not sit in the seat of mockers. That's when the knowledge is not pleasant to us. Okay? But you know what? When you press into God, knowledge becomes pleasant. You start to get to know things. You start to understand things. You start seeing things in society. You start seeing things in government. You start understanding things supernaturally by the Spirit of God, which other people don't see. And obviously, then we can take action. Verse 11. This is part of the progression. This is part of the results. This is part of the fruit. Verse 11. Discretion shall watch over you. Understanding shall keep you. That word discretion means good plans and schemes will be your portion. God's good plans and schemes. Now remember what it said in Jeremiah 29:11. How many of you remember that scripture? Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this: "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." You and I have a final outcome. We are on the way to our final outcome. You are not just going to live, you know, and die one day. Remember, there's a message out here. You are a word out of the mouth of God. And the word of God does not return void unto him. Because you are a word out of the heart of God. He has spoken you into the earth. You are not the word of God, but you are a word of God. Because you are part of Christ, who is the word. So you're a word that makes up the whole word. A lot said in that sentence. But you will not return void. So your final outcome will be full of hope and faith and joy and light and love. Everything that God has for you. Discretion, God's good plans and schemes, shall watch over you. Another a modern rendition of watch over you is will cocoon you. It means that word watch over, those that sentence or that phrase means to preserve, to hedge around and over you. In other words, I would say the modern rendition there is it will cocoon over you. Then you, I think you're pretty well protected on all sides. Amen? He will cocoon us, protect us, and understanding or intelligence shall keep you. How many of us regret some of our very, very unintelligent decisions, things we've said, things we've done, and you can kick yourself afterwards? Well, you know what? I believe there's a place in Christ where we can walk, and everything that we do has a purpose. We'll come to some good fruition in the future, that we don't have to do things just, you know, like there's a marble in our head and it's just rolling around, and every time it hits something, we do something. You know, it's not like a puppet. Where we have purpose in what we say, what we do, the way we act, everything we do. Jesus was like that. Wherever he went, he was a prophetic statement. He manifested the kingdom of God. There was nothing frivolous about him. Even when he rested, there was purpose in his rest. And so it must be with us. That's being complete in Christ. And it sets the bar pretty high for us. But you know what? When we walk in the Spirit, it's easy. When you're in that wagon trail of the Lord, it's easy. Verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil men and from the way of evil, from men who speak perverse things and are liars. Now you see, there's the way of evil men. In other words, the way of evil men must also be like a wagon trail. That's why it's so difficult when people are stuck in their evil and in their sin. It's not easy for them to come out because they are in that way. And it takes a miracle from God to take them out because they are in that way. And they are walking around in circles, but they're stuck in that way. He says he will deliver us from the way of evil men. So even if we are led astray and we do fall into one of those ruts, he will deliver us. Now that word deliver means to snatch, to pluck, or tear away. So I can just imagine, here I am in the evil way, and I actually don't know how to get out. He comes with his delivering power, and guess what? He takes that wagon and he rips it out of those tracks and puts it in his tracks. Which means, once I'm in his track, in his good path, as we read earlier on, once I'm in his good path, there's no real chance of the wagon actually straying out of that wagon trail and then falling back into the evil path or the evil way. That's how sure we are of the finished work of Christ. He will not let us go. He will not falter us. He will not forget about us. He will not forsake us. You know, we pray, "Oh Lord, please do not forsake me." I mean, he lives within you. He's not going to forsake you. We've got to understand that we are walking in his ways. Once he's put us there, he's not going to just let us be led astray. We're so scared, we are so devil conscious that, you know, well, I must watch out, you know. If God gives me a business, you know, I might become greedy. Surely, if God gives you a business, he knows that he can trust you with it. Why focus on the negative and think, yeah, well, you know, if I have so much money, oh, you know, I don't know if I can handle that. I might be led astray by greed. We must be Christ conscious, not devil conscious, not sin conscious. That kind of thing. Remember what I said earlier. The outer court and the inner court. First day thinking, second day thinking. We are sin conscious all the time. And, you know, well, I've got to watch out that I'm not led astray. Yes, of course, we've got to be alert. We've got to be awake spiritually. But the thing is, Christ paid a dear price. He's not just going to let you slip off there. Oh, shucks, Jan. Oh, gee. You know, I should never have given him that business. You know, I should have known better that, you know, there was greed in his heart. You think he sits there like that? No. He has full trust in us. He has more faith in us than what we have. The finished work of Christ. When Jesus died and he breathed out his last, what did he say? It is finished. What was finished? The work was done. A complete work. Also, the old covenant was finished, and we entered into a new covenant, a much greater and better and more complete covenant. That's what we are taught in the New Testament. Amen. He will snatch you out of the way of evil men who speak perverse things and are liars. Those perverse things, we can also say flattery. It's one of the words we can use. But another meaning to that is subjugation through deception. Basically, that's what flattery is. Don't you think so? Yeah. Subjugation through deception. That's what we've got to be careful of. People try and lead us astray. So there you are. You've got this business deal. And it sounds so fantastic, but right here in your knower, right here behind your belly, that's where your knower is, because that's where the Holy Spirit is. There's something's not right about this deal. guess what? No, it sounds so good, man. We've already had 20 people sign up for this deal. And so what do I do? I sign. And guess what? I lose it all. Oh, now I know why there was such an unease in my spirit. That was the Lord speaking to me. You know, a lot of us learn to hear the voice of the Lord by the amount of money we lose. Yeah, because if it touches your pocket, you don't forget. Verse 13, men who forsake the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness or destruction. Verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. So he's explaining what he will deliver us from. Verse 15, who are crooked in their ways, wayward and devious in their paths. See, there it talks about their paths. They create their own paths and then they get stuck in them. And then they want us to be led into those same paths. Let's look at Daniel chapter 5. Daniel 5 from verse 11. When we walk in God's wisdom, we will manifest what it says here about Daniel. Okay? Let's have a look there. Verse 5 of Daniel 5. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, I say your father, appointed him master of the magicians, enchanters or soothsayers, Chaldeans and astrologers. How would you like to be the head of the astrology department at Wits University? And you bring some godly perspective on those things. He was the head of the magicians, enchanters, and soothsayers. How's that? What do we do? No. Don't talk to me about that stuff. When I was still on the road, a lot of my selling experience was gained in the hairdressing industry. I used to sell perm lotions and colorants and shampoos and scissors and brushes and all the stuff to the hair salon. So I had close to probably 1,200 hair salons at one time that I would service. And a lot of these people are very lost. They're artistic types, and some of them are just not, you know, where they should be with the Lord. And a lot of them have backslidden. So I would walk in there the first time, and guess what? You know, they would discern me. Oh, yeah, you look like you're a Fishers or whatever, the Pisces, you know, something. I said, oh, really? You think so? No, you got my sign wrong. You really, are you sure, Pisces? Yeah, I'm sure. I say, actually, I was born under the sign of the white horse. Oh, you're one of those Chinese kind of people. I said, no. I'm one of those Hebrew types. What do you mean? I didn't know they had stuff like that. I said, yeah. So let me show you the handbook. I've got a handbook in my briefcase here. So then I would pull it out and show them in Revelation. And guess what? Oh, you know what? I'm actually a backslidden Christian. I don't know why I've gotten into all this stuff. And God would start moving. We had revival meetings in some of those hair salons. People would get healed. People would get set free. People would get saved again. They would dedicate their lives to the Lord again. Because I didn't judge them for that. That's just where they are at. They just don't know. You see, as Kelly Varner says, you know, when Adam lost it, he basically fell on his head and he got memory loss. Yeah. We've got memory loss because we cannot remember who we were before. And so what we're busy with, we're regaining our memory. And so when I deal with people like that, they've just got memory loss. They've forgotten who they are. If somebody's unsaved, they just don't know that they have memory loss. I just introduce them to that and I say, let me show you something. There's a whole new world out there for you. We need to get into the world and not condemn them and not judge them. I used to go into Lordham down the road here to call on clients there. And I mean, they had their little shrines in the corner there. And the guy would tell me how he would astral project the night before. And I say, you know what? I've got something better than that. I'm standing right in front of you and I'm in the spirit right now. Whoa, how do you do that? Because I have to meditate and I have to do whatever. I said, you know what?
I drink blood.
What? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, we've got the bloodiest religion in the world, man. Come on. And I mean, the guy's hanging on my lips because he wants to know how, because he has to go into a trance, you know, and they can lose it when they're in that trance. I mean, if somebody comes in and wakes them up and then the silver cord gets broken, you know, it talks about that in, where is it, Ecclesiastes, and they can die. I said, I can astral project wherever I want to. All I have to do is say, Lord, tell me what's going on in Cape Town with my friend Joey down there. Oh, Joey's going through a tough time. Okay. I'm still here, guys. I'm not floating off somewhere. And you know what? The spirit of prophecy can come on you right there in that hair salon with these idols and everything. You know, the presence of God is not driven out by that stuff like most. No, you can't. God can't come into a place like that. You've got to first chase out the demons. I said, I don't have to. When I arrive, the territorial spirit has arrived. Yeah, because Jesus, he's the territorial spirit. So I say, you know what the Lord shows me about you? You know, this happened to you when you were 3 years old. How do you know that? Because I serve the true God. Wow, how do you know that? No fear. I don't have to go in there. Oh, do you know? I mean, I love going in there at 12 o'clock, especially on Fridays. Because then, you know, they have the best food. It's out then in the little shops. Nice hot chili stuff and all that. Yeah. Anyway, that's just by the way. But we shouldn't fear people. The people of God have had this notion that we can't be involved with that. You know, unless we've first prayer walked around the whole area and we've cast out the principalities and powers from the area, you know, this is nonsense. Just don't go where God doesn't tell you to go. If he tells you not to go somewhere, you better not go, because then you don't have authority. Verse 12, Daniel 5. Because an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, clarify riddles and solve knotty problems were found in this same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. Listen, Babylon is recognizing God in this young man. When's Babylon going to recognize that he dwells within us? They've mocked us and teased us. Oh, well, you people roll and laugh and you do that stuff on Sundays and all that. But you know what? I see you going around with so-and-so's wife behind your wife's back. Or whatever it is. There should be respect. The New Testament church, they were talking about the place where, you know, you better not steal money there, because if you go there, you will drop dead. There was fear on the community. You can read it in Acts. It says there was fear on the community. Not just in that church, on the community. You go to that church, you better be ready. You better be right with God. They need to recognize. Then Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king said to Daniel, are you that Daniel of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of Judah? I've heard of you that the spirit of the holy God is in you. How's that? This heathen man recognizes that the Spirit of the Holy God is in him. How awesome is that? And that light and understanding and superior wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me that they might read this writing and make known to me the interpretation of it. But they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard of you that you can make interpretations and solve knotty problems. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold put around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. However, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. Look at his pure heart. Didn't prophesy for reward. But that's what God is raising up. A Daniel Joseph group of people at this time that will make a difference out there in the world. Too long have we sat in the church and prophesied to one another. I mean, I've got a pile of prophecies that I've written out like this. All happened inside the four walls of the church. It's time that I start living out some of that. I mean, some of those things, I mean, it's going to take my whole lifetime before it'll manifest. But, you know, this is what we've done over the years. Oh, well, brother, the Lord shows me this, and he shows me that about you, and so on. But it's between the four walls. Next week, then we prophesy over you. And then next week, we prophesy over you. But when are we manifesting? When are we becoming that walking prophecy out in the world? When is the wisdom of God recognized in us like it was with Daniel? I know we all have glimpses of it in our lives. I remember walking into a shop in Esalen Street in Sunnyside. I walk in there and a man ducks behind the counter. So I thought, oh, he must think I've got a gun or I'm a crook or something. Eventually I go up to him and he comes out and he looks at me. His eyes are big like that. He says to me, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He says, I'm also a Christian. But for a moment when you walked in, it looked like Jesus walked in. Now, do you think I was feeling particularly spiritual on that day? No. But what I did do, I would pray in the Spirit. In those days, I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, lie on the garage floor and worship God and seek His face because I wanted wisdom. And so sometimes that happened. I remember another woman in another shop, Polly's Arcade, there was a hair salon there. I walk in there. The woman leaves at lunch. She's busy doing color on the lady's hair. She leaves at lunch and she runs into the little kitchen that they normally have at the back. She goes in there and I don't see her. So I walk up and she hears me coming. She looks around. Get out of my shop. Get out of my shop. You scare me. You scare me. Now, I had called on her for years before that. But obviously it didn't help that I wasn't a fast for 2 weeks before that. And I said to the Lord, I want to, that scripture that you said just now, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I said, "That's I want to know what that means physically in reality to me." And so I completed the fast. Next Monday, I go to the shops. I walk in there and the woman, you scare me. You scare me. She would never allow me into a shop. Every time I walked in there, she would freak out. What she saw, I don't know. But these are little slivers in my life. You have the same in your life. But why can we not have a continuous manifestation of God's glory? And I close with that. Father, we worship you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you that Jesus has been made wisdom unto us. Father, thank you that we can walk in your ways. Father, your word says that our footsteps are ordered of the Lord. That means we walk in our ways. It means, Lord, that we don't have to fear that we are going to digress and get lost. Your word says, Lord, that our spirit is the candle of the Lord, and the candle lights up our footsteps. It's the wisdom of the Lord. It's the light of the Lord. And Father, we thank you that this word that has come forth today, that you've written it on the tablets of our hearts, and that it becomes life to us, that it becomes Jesus to us, the person of Christ in us and through us. Father, we thank you that the scales are taken away from our eyes. Lord, our ears that are overgrown with flesh, I thank you that you open them so we can hear what you are saying and therefore speak, and so we can see what you are doing and therefore do and act in a Christ-like way. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. You are our wisdom, and we worship you today. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Lord, this is the time. We've been born for a time such as this. And so, Father, we commit our lives. We thank you, Father. Thank you that you lead us in those good paths. Your word says, Lord, that we will understand every good path. Not the evil path, but the good path. And we thank you for that. Father, I thank you that I can bless these people, for they're your people. And I bless them with understanding to walk in every good path you have for them. In the name of Jesus. Amen.